The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
How much punishment, how much criticism does Dak Prescott deserve for rumors and reports that over the weekend he threw a party for Ezekiel Elliott? Breaking social distancing norms, Dak Prescott had people over to his house. My question is he doing something that different from other 20-somethings? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation, 888-729-3776. I'm not defending Dak Prescott. I know you'll think that's what I'm doing. We talked about this during our pre-show. But I asked the guys, and I want to ask you a question. Most of us listening have families. We are quarantining along with our loved ones. But I do know some 20-somethings, and I do know something of their life, and I do know the way they're quarantining right now. In fact, if you are single and young, I'm curious, are you totally isolated? 888-729-3776. You can answer that as we discuss what Dak Prescott is accused of doing over the weekend. Plus, how did the New England Patriots go about replacing Tom Brady? One of the worst opportunities in the history of sports. All that's coming up on the Will Cain Show. Currently, the standings look like this. Best movie of a given category, be it a heist movie, a war movie, or a buddy cop movie. The best movies of a nominated category, the standings look like this. Mike A. has one. Bubba has one. And Will has won reluctantly from the crew.
There's a question worst mark next movies. To that one.
I see that there on your scoreboard.
Not an accident.
On the worst movies, it looks like this. Bubba has won. Pat has won.
Debatable.
And Will has won as well. That's where we stand today as we enter the debate over the best buddy cop movie nominated on our homework over the weekend. These were the nominations. Nuno nominated The Other Guy. Will nominated Lethal Weapon. Mike A, Tango and Cash. Bubba, End of Watch. And Pat, Hobbs and Shaw. Coming up in the third hour of the Will Cain Show, we will find who the winner is. But almost as important as the winner has become the loser. Which one of us made the others watch the worst of our nominated category? Which one of us nominated the worst buddy cop movie of the five? Just for the record, for anyone just joining us today and not here on the show on Friday, we fully recognize there are other great buddy cop movies. We also recognize we didn't necessarily nominate the best five. There are some great ones that are missing, notably 48 Hours and Bad Boys. But these were the five drafted by the five of us. Now we debate who gave us the worst homework over the weekend. I have a feeling this could get interesting. Okay, Lethal Weapon, The Other Guys, End of Watch, Tango and Cash, or Hobbs and Shaw? Let the debate begin. What I'm here to tell you is, I don't think it's Hobbs and Shaw. Shocker. Surprise, right?
Genius. You are a genius, sir.
Bubba, are you ready to start crucifying Pat over this? Because everyone went into the weekend thinking he's done it again. He's Fast Five'd us again. Fast Five got Pat the worst movie win on the scoreboard here. He's currently holding that because of the Fast Five. So when we went into this and he seemingly did the same thing again with Hobbs and Shaw, I was totally prepared to hate my 2 hours watching this show. I did not hate it, guys. I did not hate it at all.
Yeah, because it's pure entertainment for 2 hours. It's just action movie nonstop, and it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Who is going to be the Hobbs and Shaw hater? Because I know somebody on this show is going to do this. I know for no other reason than Pat. You're going to do it, Bubba.
All right. I'll be second in that line.
Let me just throw out this unit of time. 35 years, 9 months, and 1 day. That's how long I lived on this earth without ever seeing a Fast and the Furious movie. And that was a great time in life. 35 years, 9 months, 1 day. Never saw a Fast and the Furious.
Did you calculate that just for this?
Sure did, point? Pat. Sure did. to the day. Then, on March 21st, 2020, I saw my first Fast and the Furious. And now, for the second time in 3 weeks, I've seen another Fast and the Furious. And I'm ready to restart the clock and start another 35 years, 9 months, and one day. Let me throw another thing out there. Riggs and Murtaugh, LAPD. Tango and Cash, LAPD. Gamble and Hoyts, NYPD. Taylor and Zavala, LAPD. Hobbs, DSS agent. Shaw, mercenary. They weren't even cops.
The movie opens with him tattooing "I heart cops" on someone's forehead.
I will grant you what Will is saying. I liked it more than Fast Five. I will give you that. I did not despise it. It wasn't horrible, but it was the worst. It's not a buddy cop movie. I mean, that's my big. I don't want to watch any more Fast and the Furious movies. It's not a buddy cop movie. They weren't cops. I'm done with it.
Okay. All right. Let me pick up that baton.
To be clear, Bubba, you have voted it the worst of the five?
I'm voting it the worst of the five because it wasn't even a buddy cop movie.
Okay. Mike A., take the baton.
Okay. There is a formula to buddy cop movies. Two guys get together, alpha males. They don't like each other. Over the course of the movie, they become friends. They become reliant on each other. And at some point in all five of these movies, there is a cliff in which all suspension of belief happens. Okay? Mm. There is a moment where they're like, okay, how are they going to get out of this one? In Hobbs and Shaw, The Rock literally holds on to a chain with a tow truck and a Black Hawk helicopter.
The chain was back again.
Pulls it back in.
Of course he does.
Enough with the chains. What?
And is there a Fast and Furious where Nitro isn't the thing that solves all the problems? Is
to be
there
fair,
a moment?
Mike,
the whole
Mike,
movie, they know it's ridiculous. That's like the point. They know
Mike,
it's absurd.
To be fair, Nitro did play a role in Tango and Cash, your nomination as well.
Of course it did, in that RV.
Yes. I have to tell you, your complaints are justified, but Hobbs and Shaw did something for me that Fast Five did not. It became self-aware. It knew it was being ridiculous. It was in on the joke. Of course he was holding a Black Hawk helicopter with his hands attached to a chain, but at that point—
And reeled it in.
But at that point, things had gotten so absurd so many times that I wasn't upset anymore. It was like, okay, I'm in on this whole joke. It's cartoon. It became a cartoon, and then I was able to enjoy it. It wasn't like Fast Five, where it's like trying to be somewhat, you know, serious in its action movie formula. This one went above and beyond. It was a different kind of buddy cop. I'm telling you, I enjoyed it.
I need to hear from Nuno.
Actually, I didn't mind it. It was lighthearted. It didn't take themselves too serious, which was very enjoyable. It was better than Fast Five. Is it the best movie that I saw this weekend? No. Is it the worst? No. I'm actually conflicted about what was the worst because
I am too.
Watching some of these movies, some of them didn't hold up, which I think is always the scary part of this, right? Stuff
yes.
that we love from the 80s, 90s. It doesn't feel like we worry about if it's going to hold up, and I don't think some of these held up.
I will say this. Every single movie was worse than I had remembered watching it.
Yes.
Except Hobbs and Shaw, which was bad from the start.
But see, here's the thing. My analysis is almost identical to Nuno's. I would say every one of these movies ventures into the ridiculous. Whether or not it's Lethal Weapon or Tango and Cash, that does that thing where the hero shoot five times and 10 guys drop, and the bad guys are terrible shots. Every single one of these movies has ridiculous, ridiculous scenarios playing out.
That happened in The Watch when they run into the complex and everyone and the guys are on the bridge with AKs.
Whoa! Spoilers.
And they completely missed them except for, you know, knocking his radio out of his hand.
Pat, what do you mean spoiler alerts? You didn't watch End of Watch?
No, I did. I'm just, for those who haven't seen it.
I was about to crucify you, Pat, if you did that thing again.
Yeah, I know. Or when they're in the apartment and they're lighting up the apartment and the bullets are just going right by them. Like,
yes.
They never get hit.
Listen, I had my problem with End of Watch. Like, who's filming? Who's filming? Because all of a sudden there's camera angles that don't exist.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Jake Gyllenhaal, but he hands the camera off at various times. I don't know. I don't know on that. But Nuno's exactly right. Holding up is a big part of this. Does it hold up? And some of these, and action is one of the biggest genres that you're going to need new on because it doesn't hold up. All right, we need to do this. Let's all pick our worst of the five. Bubba has made his pick. He picked Hobbs and Shaw. Mike A., is it safe to say you pick Hobbs and Shaw as well?
It was closer than I made it out to be, but yes, I will take Hobbs and Shaw as my worst.
Okay, Pat, we're going to save your vote to the end, I think. Nuno, what did you vote as worst of the group?
I am going to go with Tango and Cash.
So mine was a close call, and just to reflect my objectivity once again, it was going to be between Tango and Cash and Lethal Weapon. I was very disappointed in my rewatch of Lethal Weapon. It doesn't hold up that well. My sense is Lethal Weapon 2 or 3 might hold up better. There's more comedy with Joe Pesci involved. It's kind of dark, Lethal Weapon. But ultimately, it's just a higher quality film than Tango and Cash, which, by the way, wasn't bad. I enjoyed Tango and Cash, Mike, but it's going to get the worst. And by the way, End of Watch is getting a little bit of a pass because it has... It was good, and I love the banter between the two, but it's a different formula than these other four movies. But I'm going Tango and Cash, 2-2, Tango and Cash versus Hobbs and Shaw. Pat, you get to decide.
Yeah, Tango and Cash is my pick. Tango and Cash did not. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. Did not hold up at all. Was not entertained at all. It was basically a bad version of Hobbs and Shaw.
But wait, millennial, did you watch Lethal Weapon?
Yes, I watched that this morning. Actually, that one didn't hold up as well, but the banter between the two guys was pretty good.
I had Tango and Cash.
Different movies.
I had Tango as my fourth, so I had Hobbs and Shaw as fifth. But honestly, I thought Tango and Cash was a clear number four, pushing number five. To me, I thought Lethal Weapon held up. I did not. I was not a huge fan of Tango and Cash.
There it is. Mike A. gets last place for his nomination of Tango and Cash. We'll talk about why that was a bad strategy for Mike A. a little bit later in the show when we nominate the best buddy cop movie of the group. But what do the New England Patriots do to replace Tom Brady? Is it really going to be Jarrett Stidham? That's next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
What do the New England Patriots do now? How do they replace Tom Brady? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. To help answer that question, let's check in with senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. It's Ben Volen on our phone lines. What's up, Ben?
Will, thanks for having me today, and hope you're hanging in there right now.
I am, man. You doing all right, too? I'm sure you're home like everybody else, figuring out how to do that situation. You doing well?
Yeah, hanging in there. We got four kids living at the house right now, so just trying to stay sane.
Wow. That's, you know, I want to do the thing where you say, like, that's hard, that's tough, that's, but the truth is, I'm jealous. I have two kids, and I'm serious, man. I think that one of my life's regrets, and I'm just saying this because we're just two dudes talking here over national airwaves, but one of my life's regrets will be that I didn't have more kids. I'm serious, man. I don't know, you know, you got four, however that works, but kid, big family's everything. I think it's awesome. I think it's just every one of them is a blessing and fun, even though I know it's hard too. I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, it's hard, but it's good right now because the kids have each other to play with. And considering they can't play with anyone else, they can't go to the playground. It's nice that they have each other, even though they want to kill each other half the time.
That's right. That's how it goes. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe here on the Will Cain Show. I read recently a big profile. I think it was on Bleacher Report. Could have been SB Nation. Sometimes I mix up the two. Of what the Patriots do from here. One of the most unenviable jobs in sports has to be replacing the greatest quarterback of all time. And it looks like, for now, that job, that opportunity, is going to fall to Jarrett Stidham. Is that the sense you're getting from around the team?
I mean, the Patriots definitely like Jarrett Stidham. You know, Belichick, he did a conference call today, first time he's talked since the day after the playoff loss, and he went for about 30 minutes, and you know, I asked him, do you feel like you know what you have in Jarrett Stidham? Because he's only thrown four NFL passes. You know, he's a fourth-round pick who spent 1 year in the organization and really didn't play last year. And he said, yeah, we think we know what we've got here. They definitely like Jarrett, you know, what he brings to the table as far as his consistency every day, his intelligence. You know, that being said, they only have two quarterbacks on the roster right now, Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. So, at minimum, they're going to be adding someone else. I think it'll be through the draft. I think they're in play for every quarterback not named Joe Burrow. I think that there's a chance that they could make a play for Tua. I think there's a chance they could come away from the first round with a quarterback. There's also a good chance it could be mid-round or late round. Bill Belichick is not just going to hand the job to Jarrett Stidham. At minimum, he's going to have to earn it, and he's going to have to beat out more than Brian Hoyer. He's going to have to beat out someone else, too. Now, considering what we're going through with the pandemic and it's going to be tough for rookies, you know, Stidham definitely has a leg up this year. I think the Patriots are basically rebuilding for the next couple of years where they want to see what they've got. Jarrett Stidham is very cheap, and if he ends up being a great quarterback, then the Patriots are well ahead of the game. They've got a good quarterback for pennies on the dollar. So I think, instead of going and signing a Cam Newton or an Andy Dalton who don't, you know, they're not going to be the future of the franchise, I think the Patriots want to see what they've got inside the building. And so Stidham is absolutely going to get a chance to win the job, but they're not going to hand it to him. And I definitely expect the Patriots to come away from draft weekend with another quarterback.
I'm looking at an article up at the Boston Globe right now entitled, "Which NFL Draft Prospects Best Fit What Bill Belichick Wants in a Quarterback?" I want to ask you the answer to that, but first, that's quite a statement you just made. Everyone but Joe Burrow could be in play. That's a very seemingly anti-Patriots thing to do what it takes to go up and get Tua, which I'm talking about at that point. This is going to take, you know, multiple first-round picks, future first-round picks to jump up from, where are they, 23 in the early 20s,
yeah,
to presumably number 3 to 5 to get that done. You think that's a thing that Bill Belichick and the Patriots would do, go chase Tua?
Well, I think it's possible, and you're right. If it's going to cost them an arm and a leg, then it probably doesn't happen. Working against the Patriots is the fact that they don't have great draft capital. They have the 23rd pick. They don't have a second rounder because they traded it for Mohamed Sanu, and then they have 87 in the third round. So if the Dolphins want Tua, the Dolphins can pretty much trump every offer. Same with the Chargers, the Jaguars, you know, other teams. But there's more than one way to make a trade, and it doesn't have to just be draft picks. The Patriots, I think, have a couple veterans who they might end up trading before the season starts. You know, the Patriots only have $1 billion of cap space, so they've got to make some moves. One move that I'm looking at is, you know, they franchise tag Joe Tooney, but I wonder if that was just in order to, get something back for him in a trade. And if they traded him, not only could they get picks, but they would clear almost $15 million of cap space. So that would clear two hurdles for them. And, you know, looking at the draft board, number 3 is the Detroit Lions, who I don't think want Tua. And that team is basically New England Junior. I mean, Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn, those guys are very tight with the Patriots still. And, there's also buzz that the Dolphins aren't as high on Tua, that maybe some teams are scared away by his hip. So I think the fact that he's a Nick Saban player and Saban and Belichick are so tight, and the fact that Tua has got superstar potential, the Patriots need a quarterback, and I think there's a case to be made that you go and get the best one. That said, all those teams could trump them in terms of draft pick compensation. And if it's going to cost a lot, then the Patriots will gladly wait till the third round and go take Jake Fromm, or the fifth round and take James Morgan, the kid from FIU. There are other kids that I think fit their profile, but I think Tua would be great with the Patriots, and I think they would love to have someone like him. The issue is, do they have enough to go get him?
And really quick, with Ben Volen here of the Boston Globe here, I don't have much more, about a minute. You don't see Cam Newton or Jameis Winston as potential Patriots?
I don't. I just don't see them as fits schematically with what the what the Patriots want to do, especially Winston with his interceptions. I mean, that the number one rule of the Patriots is protect the ball and make smart decisions. And Jameis, you know, 30 interceptions, that to me just doesn't fly. You know, Cam Newton was starting to trend really well before he started getting hurt, but those injuries are serious, and he's never been a rhythm passer. He just doesn't fit what they're trying to do, and he's probably not going to be the future of the organization. So why spend $10 million on Cam Newton when you can spend that money elsewhere? So I don't see any of the veteran quarterbacks really being in their future.
All right, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. Really appreciate you giving us some time today, Ben.
All right, thank you, Will.
All right, take care. So Dak Prescott threw a party. Now he's receiving a lot of criticism. I am genuinely curious about this. I'm not excusing. What I'm asking is Dak doing something that a lot of 20-somethings are doing? Next on the Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Dak Prescott's 26, single, and apparently, possibly, if TMZ is correct, threw a party for Ezekiel Elliott this weekend. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol is now better than ever, America. Try the new Ultra Grip can today. It's got a protective cap and rust-proof aluminum bottom. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol. TMZ reported that Dak Prescott threw a party for Ezekiel Elliott over the weekend and perhaps had more than 10 people there. Prosper, Texas Police Department supposedly went to the scene but didn't confirm there was more than 10 people there. There was also some pictures out there that showed food and something like 8 people in the picture. That's gotten Dak a lot of criticism today. Is he flouting social distancing conventions? Stephen A. Smith on First Take went in on Dak.
I'm incredibly disappointed in Dak Prescott. And here's the reason why. We are in a situation, we're in a national crisis right now, a global crisis, to be quite honest with you. A whole bunch of people are dealing with this. You have executive orders from the governor. I understand that it may not have been 30, as some people have reported. It may have been 10 or whatever the case may be. But if you're Dak Prescott, who's obviously vying to be arguably the highest paid player in football and what have you, and you see what sports leagues are having to deal with at this particular moment in time, why would you put yourself in a situation like that to have headlines like that being circulated all over the place? Why would you do that?
I agree. From an optics perspective, I agree even more than that. Look, if Dak did have a party, he did something that is kind of violating our general agreement with each other right now. But, and I want you to know that I agree with that because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan and I'm a Dak Prescott fan. Many people are going to be like, oh, whatever, you're going to defend Dak. I'm not going to defend Dak, but I am going to ask this question. What do you think other 20-somethings are doing, single? Because I just started thinking about this. And the truth of the matter is, okay, all of us are having these discussions. I bet you are with your family. I'm having it with mine, right? Like, I have people in my family who are 20-something and single, and I know they're not adhering to the same social distancing conventions that I am, and I can't ask them to do everything that I'm doing. I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got a family unit that's going to provide me some semblance of humanity through this thing. And I got to wonder, man, if you're 26 and all of a sudden you have to work from home, or even worse, you're laid off, do you really just sit in your apartment by yourself? I'm not saying right or wrong. I mean, this is a curiosity-based conversation. Is that what we're asking of them? Because I don't think that's what's going to work. And I know in my family, like, one of the things I said is I know this is going to be, you can't be by yourself for months and months and months, but you can recognize who you're exposing yourself to. I don't mean like who you could be acquiring it from. I'm talking about who you could be giving it to. So you don't have to be then, you know, coming into close contact with older people in our family or that you may know. You don't need to be doing that. It may be too much to ask young single people to totally be by themselves. It's not too much to ask, stay away from the vulnerable. I don't know. I know that all of us who have families, honestly, I know it's hard. We're home with our kids, our wives, crazy, making me crazy, all that. But honestly, what a blessing to have people that you love and care about around you. Imagine being by yourself through this. And I'm just wondering what's really happening out there. Zach in Arizona is on the line. What's up, Zach?
Hey, man. So, I mean, each state is different right now with how serious the governors and everyone are taking it. So, Texas, if you need to have less than 10 people at a gathering, then it doesn't matter how old he is, especially at his platform. He needs to be doing the right thing, not only for his own health, but for the health of everyone there, because anybody can get sick. It doesn't have to be that supposedly someone's vulnerable. We don't know if people are immunocompromised. There are hidden illnesses and hidden diseases that he can't see and that he doesn't know. But, so that's not really a fair thing. He needs to just be responsible. A lot of people are looking up to him right now.
For sure, but what's responsible,
Zach? Even though he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
For sure, Zach, but what's responsible?
Responsible is listening to what the government is saying, how it's more than just one person saying, hey, you need to stay home. Hey, no gatherings larger than 10 people. I'm 29 and know what all of my friends are doing and we're in our 20s. We're meeting up via Zoom. We're hanging out digitally with people. A lot of us are by ourselves in our houses, but we are still communicating with others, calling people. It's not hard to ask people to stay home because it doesn't matter what age we are. We don't need to be going out and partying. You don't need to go out to bars because they're all closed.
Zach, let me ask you a question.
This is something we've never seen before.
For sure, Zach. Honestly, your only social contact, you're 29. You're single, yes?
Yes.
Your only social contact right now is through Zoom and digital connections. You're not seeing human beings at all?
No, I have to go to work as well. I'm an essential worker.
Oh, but outside of
going
to work.
So I do my best. As soon as I'm not at work, I am at home just to limit the exposure that I'm giving to others just because sure. I am coming into contact with all these people. Sure. We don't know who's staying home. We don't know if people are just running around doing errands just like they normally do.
I hear you, Zach. I appreciate the call. I appreciate you sharing your experience. Gary, Virginia. What's up, Gary? You're on the Will Cain Show.
I'm 35 and single, and I'm not just staying in my apartment all day long because looking at the statistics, I mean, you have a 0.9% fatality rate for those who are fairly healthy, I guess, generally speaking. And those who are high risk, it's only 14%. I love those odds for myself as well as others. When I've got some kind of contagious ailment otherwise, I'm not staying at home. If I need to go to the grocery store, I will. If I need to go to work, which I do every day, I do. I go to the gym until I feel like I can't. I'm not responsible for other people's health. I hear the experts talking, the Dr. Fauci's of the world, but we put civilian leaders in place to take all the inputs from the experts, and that's why we don't have military leaders as the president, because we take the military experts, the military leaders' input, and then a civilian representative makes the decision based on all inputs. And we've got to think not only about the short term, but the long term. We've got to think about the health impact, the fatality rate. We also got to think about the economic impact, short term and long term. I think more suffering and more fatalities will occur long term because of the damage we're doing to the economy, which is inextricably related to the welfare of a nation.
Gary, I hear you on a lot of that. One thing I don't agree with you on is where you said you have your fatality rate percentages that you can calculate for yourself. And then you talked about the fatality rate for others. You are responsible for others' health in this situation. You know, you can't take that responsibility on for others. And that's the whole point of this social distancing. The vulnerable have a higher percentage of fatality rate. You recognize that. But your choices are not just about getting yourself sick, right? Because you could be carrying it, not even to your knowledge, asymptomatically, and then you're putting others at risk. That's the only thing I would say here that I disagree. Not the only thing. You said a lot of things, a lot of which I agree with. But that right there seems like that's not a decision you should be making for other people. That's the whole point of social distancing, isn't it, Gary?
That is the point. When I drive my car, I put other people at risk. When we raise the speed limit over 30 miles per hour, we accept a certain amount of risk. We know there will be X amount of deaths occur because the speed limit is now 30, but we accept that as a nation, as policymakers, because we want to move the economy and get people to where they need to go. So we accept that. Why can't we accept such a low risk here? It's not that high of a risk.
The difference is this, I would suggest, is while you can give me statistics, and that's appreciated on what other risk factors are, like driving or the normal flu season or whatever the risk factors in life are, and you're right, life is full of risks, I think we as a society have largely agreed, not just through our governmental impositions, but most of our individual choices, that this is a short-term exigent situation where we are going to compromise some of our daily lives in order to put this particular threat behind us. It's not an ongoing rolling risk we take just a part of being everyday human activity. This is one we're doing now, and then it goes away. That's the idea here. Look, man, I don't disagree with some of what you said. I certainly don't agree with everything you're saying as far as the choices you're making. I do think we have a greater burden. I appreciate the call, and I do appreciate the conversation from both sides of the spectrum, Zach and Gary. But I do think we have a greater burden to take care of each other. Do I think Dak Prescott broke that burden? Do I think that he let down not just his responsibility, but those watching him? Yes, I do, if it's true. And I don't know the details of whether or not they're true. But I also think we can't sit here and go, we can't carry this too far. Like where you can't be around other people at all. No one's doing that really. And that's my point. Realism takes over. Human beings' choices will take over at some point. And what we can ask Dak Prescott or others who could be by themselves, who are 20, who do not have social interaction the way that those with families do, is you need to make sure for sure that you are protecting others who are vulnerable. Do what you will for yourself, but then don't make yourself the ticking time bomb that exposes yourself to other people. That's what I think. There are others I think that disagree with more strenuously, and you can give me a call, 888-729-3776. And I know Stu Gotts on the Levitard Show had some harsh words for Dak as well. We can listen to that. Plus, which movie of our buddy cop movies was best? We've already awarded worst, Tango and Cash to Mike A. But now, who gets best? It's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. ESPN Daily, today on ESPN Daily. If you know boxing, you know the catchphrase that starts every big bout. But you may not know, announcing fights is a family business. Get ready for the wild story of the Buffer Brothers. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell having a little bit of trouble getting along. It's the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Who nominated the best buddy cop movie? It's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. I think some people out there think I'm defending Dak Prescott because he's my guy, not the people on social media saying, it's not that hard, man. Just stay home. And I get you. I do. But I'm also trying to be realistic. I'm not defending Dak. I think he was wrong. I think he has a higher burden, a higher standard because he's a leader than if he threw a party for Ezekiel Elliott over the weekend. But I am asking a bigger question than just, hey, can we yell at a professional athlete? We can. We do that all the time. But I am asking a bigger question about whether or not we are asking of things in people's lives today that may be unrealistic. And I'm curious how many people are truly living up to the standards we are imposing each other from a distance. I've had 20-somethings, 30-somethings, in 40-somethings, text me, tweet me, telling me this is, listen, I'm by myself. I don't have a family. I'm single, and I'm having to do it. And I hear you. I also know others who are not. Stu Gotts on the Levitard Show, he had criticism for Dak as well.
Dak Prescott, you're the quarterback of the Cowboys. They have asked us to stay home. They have asked for social distancing. They have asked no large gatherings. You can't wait a month. You can't wait 2 months. You can't wait 3 months to throw a party. You have to throw a party right now. That is a terrible job from a guy who is supposed to be a leader of America's most expensive, most important, one of its biggest franchises. And what does he decide to do with the leadership that's been bestowed upon him? Throw a party for 30 people in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, my God, how could you be so stupid?
It's tough. It's right, too. I'm telling you, I'm not defending Dak. I'm asking the question larger about all of us. I think it was dumb. I think it was very dumb. I think he does have a higher standard. I think he is a leader, and he's supposed to be doing something better than that. And I think he's capable of that sacrifice while others make bigger sacrifices, including those out there who are losing their jobs. I am also curious. I'm there are times when you do a radio show and you have all the opinions in the world. And there are other times when you want to indulge your curiosity, have some humility about what's going on in the world. I've done that today. I've asked you today, starting the show, how many of you would be ready to return to your normal lives right now? When will you be ready to return to your normal lives? When will you go back to a stadium? When will you jump on a plane? I've asked you, how many 20-somethings are living lives totally isolated? So, you know, there are times when I'm curious, and this is one of those times. Are we all living up to these standards? I don't disagree that Dak Prescott should be. A few segments ago, we nominated Mike A's movie Tango and Cash. Stugot's no coincidence, big fan of Tango and Cash. But among the five we nominated for our buddy cop homework over the weekend, which included The Other Guys, End of Watch, Lethal Weapon, Tango and Cash, and Hobbs and Shaw. Tango and Cash lost by one vote to Hobbs and Shaw for worst buddy cop movie of the weekend. And one of the surprises right now is we're all a little taken aback that we're all over the board. Bubba thought Lethal Weapon held up. Nuno and I thought, that's a little dated. I thought Hobbs and Shaw was self-aware, a little twinkle in its eye, a little wink on all of its over-the-topness. Bubba couldn't still deal with it. I have no idea where this vote's going to go, fellas, on what the best one is.
I'll be surprised if there isn't another 3-2 vote, or maybe even a 2-1-1-1 vote for a top movie.
Here's the thing about your Tango and Cash, Mike. I think, do we all agree? I want Nuno and Bubba Jump. I liked it fine. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying that every one of these nominations was like, oh boy, that was the Mount Rushmore of action movies. We got the best ones. I'm not saying that, but there was none of them that I hated. There was none of them that I was like, oh my gosh. There were some that I was surprisingly not in love with the way I thought I was going to be.
If you take the four, you know, level-headed people on the show, you know, take out Pat. I feel like for the most part, we've all had similar lists when we've come in on Monday. Maybe I had 1-2, you had 3, that kind of thing. But this, I think we're all over the place.
Well Bubba said Tango and Cash was his second worst movie.
Right. But to your point, yeah, it's not something I hated, but like Mike has thrown out that he hated basically four movies except for one. Hobbs and Shaw, and even to go back to what I said earlier, I didn't actually despise it. There were some parts that were okay. I just am not interested in the Fast and the Furious franchise and don't want to watch it. But Tango and Cash to me was the clear fourth. It just wasn't great. But yeah, it wasn't horrible by any means.
Yeah, it got fifth. And Mike A made a real mistake, I think, in his calculation picking Tango and Cash with his last pick. Should have gone Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Should have swung for the fences, Mike. Well, you played it safe down the middle and it got you last. What was best? That and Dan Orlovsky for his Accountability Bowl. Next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.